Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. Speak things into our hearts as we listen to your word. God, it will be things that will cause us to be effective in life and will be powerful in the purpose that you've given us. We thank you, God, as we listen, that you would bless us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. And my name is Joshua Swilly. Me and my wife, Corinne, are the lead pastors here at Hope United. If it's your first time, we welcome you here. We're glad that you're here. And if you're new with us, you can get this QR code on the screen and scan it and connect with us. We would love to connect with you. There's something powerful about when we do life together and when you go on a journey of faith with others that also are believing in the things of God, you grow faster and you grow better. We started talking about last week this new series called Community or Come Unity. And that really is our prayer, the same prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17, 21. He said, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. So we realize this was the prayer of Jesus. It's the desire of God that we would understand unity, that we would come together and know what it is to have community. So we've been looking at that. What does it mean to understand community, to live in community, to walk out this prayer that Jesus prayed and this desire that's in God's heart? That is, in our prayer, become, Father, make us one. So being in community, though, it takes some work. Can anybody say, yes, I've witnessed that. Being in community, people can be challenging. You don't just decide to follow Jesus and snap your fingers and you're a perfect Christian. You go on a process of faith, right? It takes work. It takes surrender. It takes process. Becoming more like Christ and living that out in community is a journey. How many people grew up with siblings? Yes. Enough said, right? Sisters, brothers, competitions, argument, sharing, borrowing things that don't really belong to you. Siblings, they're great, right? They're frustrating. They're wonderful. My wife and I have lots of conversations about this because she's an only child and I am a child that had siblings. And it's just a different world if you have siblings. It's both awesome and it's frustrating. And so community part two, I want to talk to you about this. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect, but we're working on it. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect, but we're working on it. And the concept is having brothers and sisters in Christ will stretch you. Right? It's going to stretch you. Have brothers and sisters in Christ. It's awesome, but it takes patience and grace, right? The Bible says first the natural, then the spiritual. So the Bible shows us that we can look at certain natural things and learn things about the spiritual world and the spiritual realm. So we can look at our natural families. We can look at our real life brothers and sisters, and we can gain understanding of certain elements of spiritual community. There will be amazing advantages that you find about having brothers and sisters in Christ. There will also be frustrations, disagreements. There will be disappointments. Yes, that will happen along the way as well. And if you can hang in there, though, you will see the beauty of what God wants to build. I think different kids definitely have different personalities, right? With siblings, you normally have the ones that don't want anybody to touch their stuff. And you've got the siblings that want to touch everybody's stuff, right? I had a sister that would take things and take clothes out of my room. Anybody ever had siblings that would borrow take stuff from your, and I'm not talking about stuff in the common rooms, like if you left something accidentally in the living room or the kitchen. No, I'm talking about my sister would intentionally walk into my private bedroom and take things from my closet and from my room. Has anybody else felt that sting of siblings borrow taking stuff from you. With siblings, there are adjustments that you have to make to live together in the same home. And there are adjustments of living with the same family community. There's no difference spiritually. With our church family, with our community, we have to learn how to work together. We have to learn how to share. We have to learn how to treat one another. We have to learn about unity. Being in community is a process, right? There's growing, there's stretching, there's learning. And ultimately, we find the balance that is community. We don't give up while we're in the process of learning how to do it. You see, but the devil wants you to give up. He wants you to give up on the idea of community. But this is the problem. It's God's idea of community. So when you have a disagreement, this is what the enemy would want. When you have a disagreement with somebody else in the community, the enemy wants to whisper things into your ear to take that disagreement to the next level. You know, it starts something oftentimes small. The devil wants to take a disagreement and solidify it into an irreconcilable issue. Right? And I've sat in many meetings and seen like trivial things become larger than life. You know? I've seen issues that people are having with one another, and I want to tell you that most things can be resolved. Most things, the devil doesn't want you to know that. Most things can be fixed. Most things can be learned from. Most things that can be, you can grow through and forge deeper relationships. But the devil doesn't want you to do that. He wants to make you feel like those disagreements are final. They're beyond repair. And you feel like the issues are irreconcilable. But I want to tell you that Jesus is the greatest handyman that you will ever meet. He can step into situations, he can step into spaces, he can step into relationships and begin to put things back together. He's able to mend and fix and smooth over and bond things back together. There's nothing that God cannot do. Matthew 19:26 says, "But with God, everything is possible." Yes, community is possible through God. In community, if both people desire God's will, there's always a path to unity. If both people have a heart towards God and a desire towards God and will lay pride aside and ego aside, that unity is possible. I've seen over the years people get upset over the silliest things. You seen stuff, silly things? I've seen silly stuff. I've seen the most frivolous disagreements, ridiculous misunderstandings, and the enemy will take small things and make them seem like they can't be fixed. I want to remind you that nothing is too big for God. And his community is one of his highest, if not his highest, priority. God wants community established, and the enemy wants to break it apart. So there's two forces at work when we talk about community. One that wants to build it, and one that wants to destroy it. God wants to build community. The devil wants to destroy it. I love the scripture that says in Songs of Solomon 2:15, "Catch all the foxes, those little foxes, before they ruin," listen to this, "the vineyard of love." Catch the little foxes before they ruin the vineyard of love. Most times, the disagreements are little disagreements, and they cause the love to run out in community. Little disagreements that cause you to lose the love for other people in the community. It's the little foxes that cause us to disagree, to lose patience with each other. It's the little things that cause people to fall apart and fall away. Little issues that cause relationships to break up. Imagine God sending you tremendous relationships and the enemy sowing little foxes. This is what he does, though, over and over again. God sends you a miraculous, powerful ally. And the devil wants to break that up as soon as possible. the little disagreements that grow into something much larger. And the devil comes against relationship because he knows how powerful they can become in God. Jesus said in Matthew 18:19, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. Can I read you again? This is what Jesus says. This is what Jesus says about when we come together. He says, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. That's why the devil wants to keep people of God separated. That's why he wants you to do things solo, so you won't understand the power of agreement, of unity, of community, of coming together, of praying together, of working together, of working things out and building something. When we come together as community, anything we ask for, it says the Father will do. And this is why the devil does not like community. When we are together, we're stronger. He doesn't want us to be stronger, so he does his best to create little foxes, little disagreements between brothers and sisters, little arguments, little misunderstandings, little foxes that spoil the community. There's a word that the Bible uses about disagreements and sometimes hurts and feelings that are hurt. It's called offense. Offense, right? The Bible tells us a lot about this concept of offense. And offense is being upset with someone and there being no resolve, right? Listen, things come up and you could be upset with me, I could be upset with you, people could be upset, but then we can get over it, right? And that's a godly thing, to work out our imperfections within the community. But when there is something that's an offense and we're not able to resolve it, a hurt that's not resolved, we have an offense that lingers. And because many times disagreements that are resolved will make relationships deeper. But an unresolved disagreement or hurt, this is the type of offense we're talking about. It tears communities apart. It tears great relationships apart. And this is listen to this in 1 Peter 4:8. He says, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, because love covers a multitude of sins. I've learned as a young father, if you just continue to talk, that you can talk over babies and toddlers. It's a very secret tactic you may not be aware of. But if you can keep your mind focused, you can just talk right through it. 1 Peter 4:8 says, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sin. Listen to this. Love gives no place for offense. The more we walk in God's love, the less offense can live in our hearts and live in our community. Unresolved hurts become offense, and offense breaks apart important relationships that you were destined to work together. You were designed to build the kingdom together. Offense breaks that up. The enemy wants those disagreements to linger and not be resolved, because then it creates divisions and offense. And Paul told us this in Colossians 3:13. Make allowance for each other's faults. You know what an allowance is? That's like, in my budget, I'm putting aside, in my emotional bank account, I'm putting aside some space, some extra grace to deal with other people's imperfections. Paul, I love this terminology, make allowance. Set some grace aside just for the express purpose of dealing with people's drama and shortcomings and issues and hang-ups and whatever else. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. I love it how Paul just brings this up. Look, the Lord forgave you, so in the community you need to forgive others. Don't get so easily offended. I sat one time in this bishop's office, and he was telling me how important unity in the body of Christ is. And he was telling me, yeah, I work with some people that have a little bit different theology, and I work with some people that we don't see eye to eye on this, but unity is more important. Building things within the community, building things within the kingdom of God is so important that I will overlook certain offenses. I will overlook certain theological differences because we need to build some things in the kingdom of God. We need to do some things for our world. Amen? Amen. Community is worth fighting for. Instead of holding disagreements in our heart and being offended, Ephesians 4:32 tells us, instead be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. This is our command in community. Be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. There's a trail of breadcrumbs. If you read throughout the Word of God, you will find God leading us to a community of hope, faith, and love. One that forgives, one that has allowance for grace, one that grows, has mercy, compassion, a community that fights for each other and not against each other. This is God's desire. This is Jesus' prayer. Father, make them one. Offense tears relationships down. Forgiveness brings people back together. I have learned to forgive more and more. The more I look into the forgiveness of God, to the work of Jesus on the cross, it makes me want to be more merciful, more forgiving in my life, in my expression back to people in our community. Forgiveness brings people back together. We need forgiveness to continue to build God's community. We have to continue to do the little heart checks. But how do we do that? How do we check our heart to see if we're healthy or if we've been offended and we're holding those offenses in our heart? Jesus told us this in Luke 6:45. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So how do I know if my heart is right? What does my language sound like? How do I know if my heart is right now? What does my language sound like? Go to somebody you trust and say, what does my language sound like right now? Right? The way we test our heart is by listening to the words. Someone's words will tell you what's in their heart. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I can tell what's inside if I just listen long enough to what someone is saying. If there's love, compassion, and grace coming out of someone's mouth, there's probably love, compassion, and grace in that heart. If there's hurt, judgment, anger coming out of the mouth, then hurt, judgment, anger is still in the heart. Jesus said in Matthew 7:15, said, by your fruit you will recognize them. What is the fruit of your mouth? Are you a person that is known for your love? That's a true disciple. Or you as a person known to be critical, judgmental, jaded, offended. God's community must be a people that love, that forgive, that give grace. How will you know what's in the heart? To make sure the heart is in the right position. Listen to the words. Listen to the words in your mouth. Listen to the words in other people's mouth. Sometimes we have to help each other. I hear this word coming out of your mouth. Are you sure you're okay? I hear you saying this a lot right now. Is everything all right? What are the words? The words are an indicator of what is in the heart. God wants to build a community with us. Jesus prayed for it. Paul and Peter reminded us of it. But it's work to build and to live in community. Just like a natural family, our spiritual family will have to work things out. We have to look out for the little foxes that spoil the community. We have to not be so easily offended, because God wants to build something great in us, through us, with us together as his community. Let's pray together. God, I thank you, Lord, for what you're building. Your kingdom come, your will be done in us. In us, God. Lord, I thank you, Father, for the community that you're building, for the prayer that Jesus prayed, Father, make us one. And we understand we can't experience oneness by ourselves. We have to experience oneness in community. So teach us that, God. Teach us unity. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you would, God, help us to grow together. God, help us to have compassion, have a grace for each other. Be more merciful. Look through the eyes of love. Forgive and forgive again. God, thank you for that. And thank you for the great relationships that you've already placed right around us that we don't even realize yet. God, let us celebrate those relationships, celebrate the differences, because you've brought people into our life for such a special time as this. And as heads are bowed, maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus today. I've drifted in my relationship with him, but I need to reconnect today. I realize that I need him. I need him. I need him. I need him. But I don't have him in my life like I need to. If that's you, slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are. Amen. 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 There is something about saying yes to Jesus, about coming back to Jesus, about reconnecting with Jesus, or connecting with Jesus for the first time. It's powerful. If you slipped up your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And everybody that agrees with this prayer, you can say this with us. Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I receive your free gift of salvation. I receive your forgiveness for my sins. I receive your love for reconnecting me to the Father. And I'm sorry for my failures, my shortcomings, my sins. Jesus, give me a second chance today. Wipe away my sins. Put me on the right track. I need your guidance. I need your strength. I need you to walk with me every day. Jesus, I need you. Thank you for walking with me from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give God the praise today. I'm excited, so excited. If you rededicated your life or gave your life to Jesus for the first time, this is the first step into a new season for you. And it's going to be awesome. I'm excited for you. Connect with some great people. Connect with community today. Learn a couple people's names. Get some phone numbers, because I'm telling you, it makes it much easier when you're doing life with others that have the same vision of getting closer to God. Amen? Well, God bless you. I want to leave you with this thought. If God is for you, who can be against you? And if Jesus is in your corner, you will be undefeated. Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.